Warning, the following podcast may prove to be informative and educational, but it is guaranteed to be entertaining. Welcome to Trivial Warfare, the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. Now here's your host, Jonathan Oakes.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name is Jonathan, and I am here with Chris, Carmella, and Mark. Hey guys, how are you all doing?
Fantastic.
And I tell you what, the band truly is back together on this episode.
You feel good?
I'm feeling all right, man. I mean, especially with having Mark back. It's good to have you, Mark.
Oh, thank you. Good to be back.
And Carmella, once again, welcome back.
Thank you. And I have more boys to say hello to. There's three this time.
Oh, my.
So before we get rolling, I want you guys to know that today's show is sponsored by Loot Crate. Loot Crate is the source of awesome subscription boxes for epic geek and gamer items. You will hear more about Loot Crate after the midpoint. Mark.
Yes, sir.
Before we get started...
Mark has a new nickname.
You had an exciting experience recently.
I did.
Was it exciting?
It was very exciting.
Tell us about it.
I was cast as an extra on the filming of the Baywatch movie.
So there's going to be a Baywatch movie. First of all, I didn't know this.
Yes, there is. It doesn't come out until May of next year.
Were you playing the Hoff?
I wish. Given my physical stature, I could play his double at this point in his career. But no, I did not.
So what was it like?
It was pretty sweet. It was a 16 and a half hour day of shooting, which consisted of 9 hours of playing Uno with a bunch of random strangers who were also cast as extras in very little shooting. But
well, thank goodness you had a deck of Uno cards.
Yeah, I didn't. Some other guy did. He was a regular stand-in.
Oh, okay.
So apparently they do this a lot. But you go in and you shoot the same scene over and over. It was literally 100 times doing the same thing over and over again, which is very minor tweaks. But it was really interesting. You get to be around some pretty big names. I can't really mention who I was there with, but... some of the stars of the movie are The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, Zac Efron, Alexandra Daddio, the girl from...
let's say the Percy Jackson movies.
The Percy Jackson movies,
and
yeah.
And also she was in San Andreas.
San Andreas, yeah. Too. But I can't say who I was in a scene with, but there were some big names in it. But you do the same thing over and over again, and it's amazing. Every time they change camera angles, you break for an hour, and then you do the same thing over and over again, and... It's pretty interesting.
So I was just going to ask Mark, how did you find out about doing something like this?
Well, last summer I put in to be an extra in an Adam Sandler movie.
Oh, okay.
That they shot in Savannah.
What do you mean you put in? What
you? I ran across it somewhere on Facebook. I think it was that the casting company was looking for extras. I just did it for fun. I didn't think they would call me or anything.
Right.
And they called me, and I was actually on vacation in the mountains of North Carolina, and I couldn't get in for it.
Oh.
Like, so I just kind of forgot about it and everything. And then I got an email halfway through last week, and they were looking for extras. So I put in for a couple of different roles, and then they sent back and asked me for my clothing sizes and everything. So sent it back, and I thought, no, okay, I'm still not going to get anything. And then they called me the next day and told me my wardrobe was ready. So I was like, oh, that's pretty exciting.
Your awesome. Wardrobe?
My wardrobe was
whoa.
Ready.
Whoa. So, it's Baywatch, guys. You got swim trunks.
Yeah, speedo.
It wasn't.
Banana hammock.
Wasn't anything like that. But it was pretty neat. The scene that we were shooting, one of the stars came out in a different attire that I wouldn't expect them to be in. And so, like, as soon as they go to roles, the first time I saw this person, and they walk through these doors, and they were like, okay, action. And I come in, like, right after them. And they said action, and I started laughing. And I was supposed to come in right after them, and they yelled cut right afterwards. They're like, you can't laugh. You can't laugh. You got to get it together.
You're fired.
And then I was like, oh, crud. I'm going to be off the set right away. But it was pretty interesting. It was really cool. It was a long day, but after a while, after like 8 or 9 hours, you just look at these people like they're normal people.
Yeah.
And then you have a reality check, and you're like, holy crap, I'm standing next to these people. people all day long.
Very cool.
What's cool is there's two things I can think of here. The first is I might actually see the Baywatch movie, which I never would have thought that I'd go see the Baywatch movie. because I want to see Mark. That's right. And the second thing is Mark is now the answer to a trivia question. What Trivial Warfare host has been in the Baywatch movie?
Oh, that's outstanding. Does that mean he's going to make it to the next business card?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, definitely not. But hey.
It was cool. I suggest everybody be an extra in some movie just to see the whole experience of it.
You know, my uncle was an extra in the movie 42, the Jackie Robinson movie.
Oh, very cool.
He was one of the reporters when they were in Macon for the minor leagues. He was one of the reporters that, like, jammed his microphone into Jackie's face for an interview at one point.
That's cool.
Yeah. A lot of fun.
Neat.
Okay. Hey, Chris.
Yes, sir.
Are you ready to warm us up?
All right. As everybody knows from the tournament a few weeks ago, I got my backside waxed badly by Chris Eve.
Destroyed.
Yeah. That's putting it pretty nicely.
Epic fail.
As a matter of fact, I was devastated. Mm. Yeah, there we go. So, but Chris,
you were pillaged.
Plundered.
Okay. Carmella, anything from you?
No, because I lost pretty badly to Russ, so I have no comment.
Yeah, and you didn't even make it to the quarterfinals either, so.
Yeah.
Wow. Et tu, Brute?
Yeah, but who actually played against Russ?
Yeah, that's a fair point.
No.
Yes. Yes. Anyway, but Chris, a couple weeks prior to, actually sent me a great warming up Chris question that I wasn't able to use because you were doing most of the warming up Chris questions. And so I wanted to have a chance to be able to use it now. So,
thank you, Chris Eve, for this warming up Chris question.
And absolutely. And this actually comes, Chris said, from Ken Jennings Trivia Almanac.
Okay.
But what it is, it's titled Lost in Translation. And what I'm going to do is, each of these movies are English language movies, but they had a different title when it was translated into another language. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read you the name of the new title, and then I'm going to tell you what language it was translated to, and then the year of the movie, and then you guys have to figure out what the actual movie was, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay.
All right, so the first one is Monday the Whole Week. Again, that's Monday the Whole Week, and that's 1993 Danish.
I got it.
Okay, so you guys can talk about it. This is a group thing. So.
Oh, it's a group thought.
Yeah, it's
Are
a group
sure?
thing.
It's got to be Groundhog's Day.
1993?
Yeah, absolutely.
Groundhog's Day is older than 1993.
I don't think so. But even Monday the whole week, it's got to be Groundhog's Day.
I don't know.
He repeats a Monday every week, every day of the week.
Okay.
Does Carmella agree to Jonathan, though? She keeps saying no.
I don't think so, but I don't have a better answer.
Okay, and you should go with Jonathan. The answer is Groundhog's Day.
Nice.
Correct. All right, so number two. This might be my favorite of the bunch. The Knights of the Coconut, 1975 German.
Is that a Monty Python movie?
Come, Patsy!
Is that Monty Python a Holy
Search
Grail?
Search for Holy Grail, absolutely. No doubt about it.
That is absolutely correct. Yeah. So, well done. All right. The next one is Murderous Murder in Snowy Cream.
Fargo.
That's absolutely correct.
I'll go with my partners. Holy crap.
Wow, that was really well done.
Yeah.
I didn't. 1996 Cantonese.
It puts the lotion on the skin. That's what I would have gone with.
Oh.
Okay, this next one's 1959 Spanish and Going Crazy Wearing Skirts.
Spartacus?
Going Crazy Wearing Skirts.
Rebel Without a Cause?
What about The Birdcage?
1959.
Oh, what year?
1959 Spanish.
Oh, it's the one with Jack Lemmon and what's her face?
Some Like
Marilyn
It
Monroe.
Hot.
Some Like It Hot.
Some Like It Hot is correct. Oh. Nice job. You guys have nailed every single one so far.
I learned about that movie on our movie episode with the critics and the Shark Dropper guys.
Have you had a chance to see it yet? You were talking about going ahead and thinking.
No, I don't think it's on my Amazon Prime. It's not out there for me.
It's really fantastic. It's a lot of fun. Okay. Number five. This is 1997 in Mandarin. Six Naked Pigs.
Snatch.
1997 Mandarin.
Babe.
Wow.
No, Snatch with Brad Pitt had pigs in it that were eating people.
Oh.
Like they were getting, people were getting fed to the pigs. That's why I thought Snatch. And that's about the right time frame.
What was that?
Showgirls?
Babe could be right.
1997.
Oh, I thought you said 95.
No, 97.
Okay.
1997 Mandarin, Six Naked Pigs.
Six Naked Pigs. What?
The Full Monty.
The answer is the full Monty.
Oh,
holy crap, Mark. Good job, dude.
Sweet.
Wow, that really? Six naked pigs?
Yep.
Man, judgmental much, China?
I have a nail polish called the full Monty.
Hey.
Wow. Hi-yo. So, okay, next one. 1990 French. Mom, I missed the plane.
Home Alone.
That sounds right.
Yeah, Home Alone.
All right, Home Alone is correct. So far, 6 for 6. Here's the one that might trip you guys up. This is the tough. This is the last one, and it's the toughest of the bunch. 1967 in Japanese. 007 dies twice.
So it's got to be a James Bond.
You only live once.
Well, hold on. If he dies twice.
Or you only is it? Oh, you only live twice?
I think that might be the name of it. You only live twice.
You only live twice?
That sounds right. So final answer? I agree with Carmella.
Sure.
Absolutely correct. 7 for 7, you three. Man, you guys are a force to be reckoned with.
Well, you shouldn't have put us on the same team.
Well,
we got to work together.
That's true. Well, hey, you guys needed each other for all of that. Carmella got the James Bond. Mm-hmm. He got the full Monty, which should really make
Fargo
you kind of...
at the same time.
Should make you kind of concerned about Mark for getting full Monty that quick.
He was an extra in the full Monty.
Yeah, exactly.
He was only partly Monty'd, though. Yeah.
He was the Monty.
Yeah. Everybody else
really?
Everybody else was the full.
He looks like a Monty.
So, folks, that is your warming up Chris question of the episode.
All right. So, Mark, you are the host in this game, and this is a triple threat match. This is Jonathan versus Chris versus Carmella.
Oh, this is going to get sloppy.
So, not as sloppy as your full Monty appearance.
Whoa. Not even sure how to react to that statement. So,
all right. Let's rock and roll, Mark.
Your first category of the game is animals.
Animal.
Panama! No, that's Panama.
Wow.
Still, that would be an awesome tribute to the to animal from the Muppets.
Animals. That was right. Animals. When a female horse and a male donkey mate, the offspring is called a mule. But when a male horse and a female donkey mate, the offspring is called what?
Huh? Say it again?
Ruh-roh.
When a female horse and a male donkey mate, the offspring is called a mule.
Okay.
But when a male horse and a female donkey mate, the offspring is called what?
This is going to tell you how this episode's going to go, because that was the first question. Even Carmella's stumped.
I'm sitting here thinking.
I thought for sure you're going to be like, okay, got it, next.
Sitting here thinking, call it donkey, isn't it?
It is not.
Donkey!
Okay, I'm locked in.
I don't think this is right, but I'll write something down.
So you're both in.
Yeah, yep. So talk away, bud.
Darn. Okay, so...
Wait, it doesn't mean that we're right. It just means that we're locked in.
No, well, I just... It could be an ass, but I thought an ass was just another word for a donkey. I always thought a mule was just another word for a donkey, too, to be honest with you. Burro comes to mind, but I think that's just Spanish for donkey. And...
Give me that donkey butt.
Something wrong with y'all.
That boy ain't right. Golly, what could it be? I'm going to really be upset when I hear the right answer.
No, he's going to go with Pokemons.
It's Charizard.
It's Pikachu.
Pika.
I'm just going to say an ass.
All right. My answer was mullet.
Because it's business in the front.
It's a mulet.
Actually, honestly, I think mulet or something like that is an animal, but I don't know the exact pronunciation for it.
Creme mulet.
So I'm French version. Mullet.
All right, Carmella.
I said burro.
Oh. It is known as a henny.
Oh, I didn't know that. A henny?
A henny.
Okay,
how
dog
do you spell
should be
that?
Really pissed.
H-I-N-N-Y.
Really?
That is a henny.
Interesting. No,
I didn't
clue.
Even change that. That's like the first question of one of my games.
I've never heard that in my life.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Mark with 10 points.
You're not even playing.
Your next category is time. A fortnight is a unit of time equal to how many days?
I'm locked in.
I just knew you would be that quick.
You want how many days or how many weeks?
How many days?
I'm locked in.
Okay. I was thinking Fortnite, and does it have anything to do with 40? Because 40 days came in ahead, and actually, that's initially what I wrote down. But I don't think it's that long. I really don't. My final answer is 10 days.
Okay, so I was less confident than Carmella, so I'll go next. I was struggling between 20, 28, and 40. 20, though, is a score. I didn't think that's right. So it's either 4 weeks, which would be 28 days, or 40. I wrote down 40. I feel like it's 28.
Crap. That means it is going to be 40.
Okay. A fortnight is 2 weeks, so it's 14 days.
It is 14 days.
Oh.
Well, son of a monkey's uncle.
That comes from 14 nights, which is 14 days.
It could have come from 40 nights.
But it did not.
That's called Lent.
So
that's called Arabian Nights.
So Carmella jumping to the early lead.
Yes. All right. Final question of the first round.
Final question of the round is a science question.
Science.
What C word is the scientific name for the top of a turtle shell? Starting with the letter C.
I'll lock in.
Okay. I'm locked in.
The first word that came to mind was crest. Like the crest of a mountain or cresting a mountain.
I love that toothpaste.
Yeah. I used Crest, actually.
I celebrate it every morning.
Colgate. Could be Colgate.
I love that school.
I'm trying to think of any other words that it could be, and I haven't come up with any, so I'm going to say crest.
Okay.
No, I'm not. I'm going to say crown.
So crown.
Crown is my answer.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
Are you sure?
Okay. Locking
in. Positive?
Yes. There's a third
only
one in
fools
there.
Are positive.
No, only saying, hey, protons are positive.
Wow. Nerd humor. All right, Mark, I said cartilage.
Okay.
Carapace.
Carapace is correct.
Ooh. I thought the carapace was the whole shell.
It is not. It is the top of the turtle shell.
Really?
My goodness. All
darn.
Right. So after first round, Carmella, the first lady of Trivial Warfare, is up 20. Jonathan, you have zero, but guess what? I'm right there with you. I have zero.
Maybe I'll get on the Hall of Fame wall.
We're so lucky.
Oh,
Carmella's
sorry, you're
here.
Part of the show.
I'm part of the show now, no, but I can't be.
Yeah, you're
the
part of the show. You can, you're not.
You are
eligible.
The first lady of Trivial Warfare. If you would like to renounce that title, we can
no,
probably
no,
put you
I
on
like
the Hall of Fame.
I didn't know that.
I didn't get very many titles.
I could have sworn that was the whole show. So how about that? Chris, we're lucky she's here because that would have been the crappiest first round ever if it was just us.
No, we've had blank first rounds before. Yeah. And then don't forget the first few episodes when we were trying to kill each other with bad trivia questions. It's like, wow, the first five questions, neither of us have gotten anything right.
Those were the days.
And I brighten up your room here.
Okay.
Yeah. I was going to say the stockings, too.
Easter stockings.
Well, right. By the time people listen to this, it'll be like Memorial Day stockings.
You're right.
Flag Day stockings.
Mm. Arbor Day.
Mark's over there validating his answers before asking his next question.
Just double checking it.
All right. So round two.
Round two. Fight.
Because technically the bottom of the turtle shell is the underside of it is still known as its turtle shell.
Oh, you were double checking that. Oh, you meant top like the shell.
Top of a turtle shell.
I thought you meant the tip top
well, the,
of the shell.
Top
you meant the top half.
Well, because technically the bottom part is also known as a shell.
If you ever ask that again, you should say top half.
Well, it's not a half, technically. It's more than a half if you're talking about the top.
I get you. The way it's worded now.
The surface.
I was trying to come up with the tippity-tip-top, the top of the shell.
Tippity-tippity-top.
I actually would have had a much better chance of getting that right if I knew you meant the whole top half of the shell. I didn't realize that.
All right, here we go. First question around to government. What position was held by Alberto Gonzalez, the highest-ranking Hispanic in the history of the U.S. government, from 2005 to 2007?
I remember this guy. I'm just trying to remember what it was, what the office he had was.
Okay, I'm locked in, by the way. And I actually feel pretty good about this answer.
All right, I'm locked in.
All right, so I'm having a Jonathan kind of moment because I had three answers coming to my head.
It's spreading. Send help.
So I'm trying to determine whether he was a chief of staff, the attorney general, or the press secretary. So I'm trying to like see what title sounds right from what I remember from the news. I think I'm going to say attorney general.
So I took a stab in the dark and I said attorney general.
Everybody stab in the dark. Interesting. I'm going completely opposite. I thought he was the secretary of education.
Hmm. His initials, AG, are the same as the position he held.
Attorney general.
Attorney Woo! General.
Oh, I am freaking happy, man.
You're on the board,
It was
man.
Somewhere back there, way in the back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sphincter.
Very much.
Your next category is music.
Music.
With harmony.
Ooh. Not much.
Aw.
No, I butchered that one for you.
Who sang background vocals on Carly Simon's 1972 hit, You're So Vain?
I just listened to the song the other day.
I've heard this question before. Chris is writing feverishly.
Locked in.
Carmelo, you know my number. There's three guys. I'm trying to pick one. Trying to use logic to figure out which of them would make more sense. Ah, shoot. All right, I'm locked in.
Okay. I really did just, you know, because I listen to the Throwback Thursday playlist on Spotify all the time. And because it's Women's History Month, they've been doing a lot of those kinds of things. And You're So Vain was on this one this past week. And I really can only think of Carly's voice. And I'm trying to think, is there a male voice in the background or is it a female voice in the background? I'm going to go with another singer-songwriter from, so I'm going to say Carole King.
Okay.
Jonathan?
I'm pretty sure it's a guy. And my choices were Freddie Mercury, John Lennon, and Mick Jagger. David Bowie was also in my mix. Something makes me think it's John Lennon, but I wrote down Mick Jagger. So Mick Jagger is my answer.
I'm kind of in the same vein as you are, Jonathan.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, exactly. And
Because
I know Carole King and Mick Jagger wrote a couple songs together, and the three names that were in my head were...
You mean Carly Simon?
Yeah, sorry, Carly Simon. Sorry, I was... She said Carole King, and it got stuck in my head, but Carly Simon. And so it was Mick Jagger for me. It was Bob Dylan, because for some reason...
Oh, I didn't even think of Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan always seems to pop up in these stupid things. And then the other one being John Lennon. But I also said Mick Jagger.
On background vocals, it is Mick Jagger.
Nice.
Yes! Woo! Chris! I keep going to take score, and Chris is taking score. I'm excited about that. Man, I've missed that a bunch of times. I finally got it locked in.
Last category of round two is movies.
Movies.
Name the actor or actress that appeared in all of the following movies.
Tribond.
Tombstone. Batman Forever. And The Island of Dr. Moreau.
I'm going to lock in.
I am so
locked in.
Oh, my God. I'm so hosed.
I love it when Jonathan freaks out like that. It's so much fun.
Jeez, man. Okay. All right, hold on. Which one was Batman Forever?
The bad one.
They're all bad.
Aw.
Bat nipples.
Batman and Robin.
Can you milk him?
I can't tell the difference between Batman and Robin and Batman Forever. That's my primary problem. One of them is George Clooney, and one of them is Val Kilmer. Batman and Robin was Mr. Freeze and Poison Ivy. Oh, crap, I have no idea which one that was. So Tombstone, I think, is the movie. I'm so bad at this. I don't know.
I love that movie.
Tombstone is the one where Val Kilmer does the whole "I'll be your Huckleberry" line, I think. And if that's true, then that might be my best guess, because if he could be Batman from Batman Forever and he could be from Tombstone. I never saw anything about Island of Dr. Moreau. I'm just going to go Val Kilmer and hope for the best.
Carmella?
I said Val Kilmer.
I'll be your Huckleberry, Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer is correct.
Thank you so much. I'd like to thank the Academy for making this possible, and I'd like to thank the fans who voted.
So after two rounds, Carmella's still up with 40 points. Jonathan, you're in second with 30, and I'm right behind with 20.
All right. A lot better than the first round, that's for sure.
Round three, your first category is sports.
Sports.
What city is the College Football Hall of Fame currently located in?
Crap.
Locked in.
If it makes you feel better, Carmella, I got no idea.
I'll write something down.
So you would think that would have to be somewhere where they love college football, which means it's likely to be somewhere where there's a team. So that narrows it down if that's true.
About 120 choices.
Yes, exactly. I'm going to bet it's probably either a Big Ten or an SEC city. So it could be like Norman. It could be, you know what? The biggest college football revering place in the world is probably Tuscaloosa, Alabama. So if I had to pick one team whose city is the answer, I think I'm going to go with Alabama, and I think I'm going to go with Tuscaloosa. So I'll say Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Carmella?
I thought maybe Texas, because football is so big in Texas. So I just said Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay. I don't know where it was beforehand, but I believe about 5 to 10 years ago, it got moved to Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, really? Atlanta,
Georgia is my answer.
Until August of 2014, it was in South Bend, Indiana.
Ah.
And then it relocated to Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
Wow. So, you were, you've been right for a year and a two. You've been right for 2 years.
Yeah.
Before that, it would have been wrong.
I don't know why I didn't think about South Bend. I'm glad I didn't, because I would have been waffling.
Wow. Atlanta, man. I didn't know that at all. I grew up in Atlanta. It wasn't there when I grew up. Darn.
I've only been to the airport in Atlanta.
Huh. Great city.
Yeah.
It's a pretty amazing city. It's really a pain in the butt to drive through.
Your next category is astronomy.
Crap.
Oh, man. Carmella's like, I am so in this.
Yay!
In astronomy, what constellation is represented by a scale or a balance?
So 3, 2, 1, and find out if I can screw it up for everybody.
Yeah, let's do 3, 2, 1.
All right. Mark, count it down.
3, 2, 1.
Libra.
Libra is correct.
Yeah. You gave him like the one that he knew.
Your last category of the round is food.
Food.
What is the name for the clear liquid that surrounds the yolk in an egg?
Oh, crap. I know this.
Do we have to be scientific about it?
What were you going to call
it? He was going to say the yummy stuff.
No,
he was going to call it by its common name.
Yeah, the common. I mean, there's a common name for it that everybody knows.
Probably the same one I'm thinking of.
No, the actual name of the clear
there's an actual name for it.
Okay, so it's not the common name you're looking for, then.
No.
Okay.
And I know the actual name for it. I just can't think of what it is.
Oh, well, I'm completely hosed then. All right, I'm locked in.
Mark brought the pain with today's questions.
I didn't like the first four so much. The last few have been not that bad.
I'm locked in, but it's wrong.
All right, Carmella, talk it out.
I know it starts with an A. That's about all I can remember.
Don't nod your head, Mark. She doesn't need help.
For some reason, I want to say Ambien. I'm like, no, it's not Ambien. That's a drug.
Sleepy.
I'm going to say Amina. I don't think that's right, but that's about as close as I can get.
All right. I know I'm wrong, Jonathan, so I'm just going to say, I said embryonic fluid.
If it starts with an A, it might be an amniotic sac or amniotic fluid.
Sac.
But I said placenta.
Oh.
Well, I mean, it's an egg, for God's sakes. It's got all the same stuff as a birth egg.
Yeah, except different, though. No, in my eggs, there's not a placenta. The placenta is formed in the uterus, not in the egg.
It's all related to each other. It's floating around in birth juice.
I'm never
going to
eat eggs again.
It's called birth juice.
Oh, I'm really never eating eggs again. Man, I feel like you guys have seen Stand By Me, right?
Yeah. It is called the albumen.
Albumen.
Wow.
Albumen.
No, I never heard of that one.
What were you going to call it? What's it commonly called?
Egg white.
Egg white.
Oh, just egg white. Oh,
that's why it's kind of an easy question if you let me say egg white.
Well, no, but the clear liquid. It's not called egg white it's actually like white.
No. When you're cooking, it's egg white. Separate the egg white from the yolk. That's what they say in all the recipes.
It's not even white, though.
Doesn't matter. That's what it's called.
Gotta be white.
That is totally what
it's
called.
That's so funny.
Dude.
I didn't even think about it like that. I did not think about it at all as the egg white.
I mean, if you asked me that in trivia, I might argue it, like, legitimately, because that is totally what it's called if you look at any recipe.
Although, I'll be honest, if I thought of egg white, I would have wrote that down because I was thinking of more scientific terms, and that was not coming
to me. See, I knew you wanted scientific after you said not the common name.
Science!
All right, so that was the end of the third round?
Yep, and Carmella is still in the lead with 50, but Jonathan and I have closed the gap at 40 each.
Man.
All right, close game so far.
Woohoo!
Your halftime question. In which four states are each of the following colleges or universities from the 2016 NCAA men's basketball tournament located? So I'm going to give you four colleges or universities. Tell me what states they are located. Villanova, Butler, Austin Peay, and Weber State.
I got news for you, Mark.
Wow.
What?
This does not give us an advantage. No. I don't know any of these.
Really?
No, I don't care about college basketball.
I know one without a shadow of a doubt, and that's about it.
Austin Peay is P-E-A-Y.
That is correct.
I learned that the other day. I always thought it was like Austin Peay something, and they were leaving the something off. And then I saw how it was spelled, and I was like, oh, that's like the name.
Well, the announcer for Forum got some notoriety a couple years ago because he goes, Austin Peay! And it was just hilarious. It was just funny as all get out.
I think he should. That's awesome. All right, I'm locked in.
I should really start asking where some of these schools are at, just so that I'll know for future trivia questions. Okay, I'm locked in.
I don't know any of these. Like not even a little bit.
Me and you both.
Not even a little.
Two of them are large schools.
Really?
Larger schools. One of them's large.
I would have only thought one of them was large. Actually, I did hear that Butler grew as a result of making a couple of Final Fours or making a Final Four. They've like doubled in size over the last 5 years.
It's one of the reasons why they want schools to do well in these things is just for that exact reason.
You're right.
For some reason, I think Villanova is in California. The only reason I think that is because it's a Spanish-sounding name. And, you know, California probably a good candidate for that. Butler, no idea. So I'm going to say Illinois. Austin Peay is the only one I haven't written down anything for yet. So I'm going to say California, Illinois, Washington, and Ohio.
So I feel like Villanova has had a rivalry with Georgetown, and Georgetown, I think, is like Washington, D.C. area. So I figured it was either in Maryland or Virginia. So I said Maryland for Villanova. And then I said Texas for all three of the next ones. Because I figure I really don't know, but I think one of them's probably in Texas.
Is it because everything's bigger in Texas, Jonathan?
If I had to guess which one was in Texas, I might say Butler. But I just went Texas, 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 and hopefully maximized my chance to get one right.
Okay. Jonathan, I was right there with you with Villanova. And so I said Maryland as well.
Oh.
Butler made it into the Final Four a couple years ago, and actually I think made it to the final game a couple years ago when that game was in Indianapolis, and they said it was basically a home game for Butler. So that's Indiana. Austin Peay and Weber State, I had no idea, so I just threw it out there and find out. And that was Illinois for Austin Peay and Idaho for Weber State, because I think Weber State is in what's a matter of you. It's just, it's out in the middle of nowhere somewhere. So that's my answer.
And your definition of middle of nowhere is Idaho?
You're not a hoe, Chris.
So Maryland, Indiana.
Debatable.
Oh.
My wife doesn't think so, and that's all that matters. Anyway, Maryland, Indiana, Illinois, and Idaho.
Okay.
Come on, Texas. Come on, Texas.
You're all wrong.
Big money, no whammies, stop.
Come on, please, Texas.
Villanova is in Pennsylvania.
Crap, I thought about Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Eastern PA. Butler is in Indiana.
Nice.
Austin Peay is in Tennessee. And Weber State is in the middle of nowhere, but it is in Utah.
Man.
Chris is the only one that got anything right out of it.
I went Texas three times, was wrong every time.
You played the law of averages, though. That's pretty smart.
Okay, guys. So after the midpoint, little score change. Not much, though. Carmelo's still in the lead with 50. I'm now in second place with 45. And Jonathan, you're in third with 40.
All right, so before we go into the fourth round, let's talk a little bit about our sponsor, Loot Crate. The last few days when I've had you guys over and we've been talking about the different cool stuff you've gotten, one of the things that Carmella and Chris, you've both said about the Loot Crate boxes that you've gotten is that you love the opportunity to share it with people. So could you tell me a little bit about like what you mean when you say that and what kind of stuff you've shared?
Well, I've had it shared with me. One of the ways I've gotten Loot Crate in the past is it was a birthday gift from my cousin Amanda. She had it shipped to my house instead of to hers. So I know you can give them as gifts to other people.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So that was my 26th birthday gift was a Loot Crate. So, and it had awesome stuff in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back in February of this year, it had a dead theme. It was Deadpool and Walking Dead. And one of the things that was in there was soap on a rope, Walking Dead ears. And it was these ears on this soap on, that was soap on a rope. So the ears were made out of soap. And I gave that to my friend Virginia because her husband's a huge Walking Dead fan. And she kind of, when she saw it, was like, my husband would love this. And I'm like, okay, here you go. And then also, like, there's been little things. Like, there was a Halo ammo box. It was an empty box that you could use for things. And I gave that to my nephew. You would have thought that I just gave him the world. He just, because he loves Halo.
Yeah.
To me, that's what I love about Loot Crate is, yes, it gives me cool stuff that I didn't think I really wanted. And yes, I really do want it, but also it gives me the opportunity to be able to pass off some things that I maybe not be a fan of to friends of mine that really are into it.
And they're like, they look at you like, hey, you're giving me something for free. You're awesome. Yeah. And you're like, hey, this was the piece I didn't even care about.
Exactly right. And it was basically for free because it's like for $20 a month, you get a lot of stuff jam-packed in that box.
That's right. You get over $40 worth every month, and sometimes it's a lot more than that.
Yep.
And I learned the other day, very cool, they ship to 27 different countries.
Oh, wow.
So if, like, I know we have people over in Great Britain who are like, hey, do they ship to Great Britain? Yeah, they do. So absolutely, if you have any questions about that, check out the website. Go to www.lootcrate.com/TWA. You can find the different boxes there. You can sign up. And if you use the coupon code TWA, you'll get a 15% discount of your first month's box. All right, guys, let's jump into round 4. Mark just lost his crown that he was taking score with. It's not even a cool crown. Like, I have a box of 100 and some odd cool crowns up here. Mark's using a giant green one.
All right, Mark, let's start the 4th round, please.
Your first category of round 4 is science.
Science!
Science. Dang, y'all were so loud. That was like you shouted, science!
Science! What year did the last person set foot on the moon?
Oh my God, Carmella's going to beat us.
Thanks for the leg up, Baywatch.
Do I detect the nickname? Man, I have literally no idea.
I have like 2 years stuck in my head. I'm not sure which one it is. So will you write it down so I could talk about it?
Go for it.
All right, thanks. Okay. So the interesting part is that my parents were born in 1968. Or not born, excuse me. My parents were married in 1968, literally a year before the first astronauts landed on the moon. And so 69 is that year. And so I was thinking, I think they did another 6 moon missions. Because, as we said, Apollo 11 was up there, and I think it stopped at 17. I believe it was 17. So I was trying to figure out, and the reason I'm saying all that is just to try to figure out, I figured it lasted about 4 years. And so I had that 72 to 74 range in my head. And I'm going to ultimately go, with 1974 as my final answer.
Okay. So I didn't have nearly as much logic to go on. I knew it was after 69, but I don't know how far. So I just had to take a stab in the dark, right?
Everybody stab in the dark.
And so I just picked my birth year, and I went 1976.
So it was the Apollo 17 mission, but I believe it was in 1972.
It was in 1972.
Man. That was
Carmella. You don't know this, but Carmella's specialty is space. Like, if any space question is, she's gonna get it.
Seriously, she's got game.
You're just jealous.
She knows little. What turtle shells too.
It's true. I know a turtle shell.
Well, she understood the question better too.
And I know what a Fortnite is.
Enough out of you.
Whatever. You don't know squat about basketball schools.
Yeah. Hey, I own that, though.
Neither do I.
I'll own up to that.
Second question of the round. Designers is your category.
So hosed. Oh my God.
We're just completely humped.
Repeatedly.
Who designed the 2014 Winter Olympic uniforms for Team USA?
I mean, I'm humped worse than a camel. You realize that? This is bad.
Is it one of those two humped camels?
Yes, more than that.
Who designed for Team USA?
Yes, 2014 Winter Olympic uniforms. How many designers do you know?
None. Like actually a bunch, but none of them are relevant.
Maybe.
Oh, God.
Man, we're enjoying another classic Jonathan meltdown here.
Well, I kind of enjoy it because I don't see this a whole lot.
Oh, you weren't here for the classic baseball meltdown. Oh, it was so fabulous. Carmella, do you agree?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite moments on the show.
It really was.
I caused Jonathan to have an existential crisis. Why wouldn't I like that?
He had to walk away from the microphone. It was that good.
And then he blew the baseball question at the end, too.
You see this, people. They take joy in my misery. Mm-hmm. This is
because you do the exact same thing.
Underlying theme of the show. I'm locked in, by the way.
Are you guys locked in?
No, she's I'm still not. Thinking. Oh. I've got a weird answer in my head, to be honest with you, Mark, but I'm like, I don't know if I really want to go there.
Don't go there.
Wow. Don't laugh at that, Ben. You're just encouraging him.
Ben in the background chuckling, trying not to be loud.
True story.
I did not say that, by the way. I did not say that.
You were thinking it.
All right, guys, I'm locked in.
All right, so I'm sitting here thinking, like, would they have gone with an American designer because it's Team USA, or would they have just gone with, you know, just any designer that they liked? Let's see here. I'm going to go with, let's see, it's winter, so it's simple stuff. I'm going to go with Versace.
Okay. What I was kind of going with the weird stuff was, for some reason, Peter Max was in my head, and obviously he's an artist and not a fashion designer. Then I remembered Tommy Hilfiger, I believe, actually did it, because I remember them potentially mentioning that. So my answer is Tommy Hilfiger.
So I figured it had to be an American. If you're designing Olympics, it has to be American. So my whole desire to answer this question was just to figure out an American designer. And so that eliminated basically every designer I know. And then
Jonathan said JCPenney's.
It was a sponsorship deal. And then I thought, you know what? There's somebody who uses red, white, and blue in almost everything they design. And that's Tommy Hilfiger. And I think he's American. So I went with Tommy Hilfiger.
Ralph Lauren.
Oh, wow.
Is he American?
I don't know.
Is he alive?
I don't know.
He is alive. I mean, as for being American, I believe he is.
That was the first time we've all gotten one wrong.
Yep. No, the first round.
We all got Henny wrong.
You're right.
Hemi.
That thing got a Henny.
Your next category is weapons.
What is with the random categories in this show?
Lasers go pew pew.
What old school weapon that some still use today has parts called a nut and a tickler?
I'm locked in. I know my weapons. And not really. I might be wrong.
A nut and a tickler.
That's a nut.
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Sometimes you feel like a tickle.
Not what I was going with.
58.
Okay. This doesn't even... doesn't even feel right. You know you're about to lock in an answer and you're like, this cannot be right.
I'll write something down.
So you're both in?
Yep.
Yes.
I'm struggling because the only thing I've come up with is a whip. And I'm thinking like...
And a nene.
I was going to go there.
Is Chris the whitest person ever?
Yes.
So
yes,
I'm
I am.
Thinking
I'm
like,
so white, I'm clear.
Larry Bird.
Like Albumin.
Sorry, Jonathan, you were saying.
There's a new nickname. Yeah. Chris is now Albumin. I'm thinking about a whip because a whip can have like a, almost the same way that a sword has a hand cover for you. A whip can have like a ball near the base of it that you could call a nut, I imagine. And some whips have threads or lashes at the tip, which you could call a tickler. So I've been thinking about a whip and I'm just trying to think of other quote unquote old school weapons. I'm trying to think of different guns, like a musket. Doesn't sound like a musket. Definitely not any kind of sword. I'm saying a whip. I don't like it, though.
So, I was stuck between two. I was thinking either a whip or a flail. I thought maybe, like, the ball at the end of the chain would be, like, a tickler or something. But I also said whip.
See, I was pretty confident in my answer until I heard you guys say whip, and then I just had this sinking feeling because... I remember reading something about that in an older weapons book that I was reading, but my answer was bow and arrow.
Okay, like you're thinking about like the fletches on the back being ticklers?
Yeah, I remember them being called something else besides...
Fletchings?
Yeah.
So you said...
bow and arrow is my answer.
Carmella, you're a Walking Dead fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's Daryl use for his primary
crossbow.
Weapon?
Oh, he uses a crossbow.
Crossbows.
Oh.
Wow, you were close, dude.
Crossbow.
I'm not familiar with that at all.
But my line of reasoning was about the same as yours with the tickler part.
Yeah.
See, and I've read some of the Walking Dead comic books, so I knew what you were talking about. Mm-hmm. So.
Crossbow. Oh.
Okay. So that was a pretty crappy round for all of us. So at the end of round four, Carmella has extended her lead. She has 60. I still have 45, and Jonathan, you still have 40. That was a goose egg round for you and me, my friend.
I've had two of those in this game.
Ooh, I've had two of those in this game.
I haven't.
That sucked.
I'm really hoping I can get a history question or maybe a literature question or something.
Funny you mentioned literature, because your first category of the next round is literature.
Ben, get up to a mic.
I don't think you're going to need anybody on this one.
Literature.
That's what nice. We needed.
Oh, pizza's
and the
here.
Pizza guy.
Time out.
All right, hey, gentlemen, ladies. This is where the comebacks start.
Jonathan's like, it's time to put my ass kickers on.
First category of round five, literature.
Literature.
What author wrote the novel Jaws?
Oh, boy. Man, Jonathan's comeback does start. Look at that. Just bam, right off the bat.
Locked in. And no looking at my bookcases, because it's around here somewhere.
I don't know if you've noticed, but my eyesight stinks. So even if you said it was right in front of me, like right behind you, I would not be able to read it.
All right, what's the three authors that Jonathan reads? He reads Tom Clancy.
Dr. Seuss.
And Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. If you went with that, Buchholz is up there, my favorite. She's awesome. I got a row of Robert Jordan.
And some Wheel of Time stuff.
Yep. Ugh. It was good for seven books, and then it really went downhill.
Well, the poor man died.
No, it went downhill way before he died.
He was just putting words on paper to make the largest book he possibly can. All right, I'm going to write down my wrong answer.
So here's why I'm struggling. I'm like, what came first, the novel or the movie?
The egg.
The umbrella.
The albumin.
That's
albumin.
What I meant.
The egg white. And for some reason, only because he wrote books like this, the only person I can think of is Michael Crichton. And I don't have a better answer than that, so I'm going to say Michael Crichton.
Crichton and Spielberg did do a lot of stuff together. Yeah. I really don't know. I put the last name Weber just because it sounds familiar. But so, and Weber State was just mentioned earlier. So, so Jonathan, tell us what the real answer, the right answer is.
The book came first. The guy's name is Benchley.
Benchley?
Benchley. I think it's Peter Benchley, but I'm just saying Benchley.
Peter Benchley, yep.
Nice job, Jonathan.
He's written a lot of shark, whale kind of stuff, too. Like, there was a made-for-TV movie about a giant squid that he did.
It's called Sharknado.
I was going to say Squidnado.
Well, that would be pretty... That's not bad. Tornadoes throwing squid at people, but they're giant squids.
And people with fryers all over the place coming, come calamari, come.
Calamari-nado.
Tasty.
Television is your next category.
Televisiones.
On the TV show In Living Color.
In Living Color.
What was the name of the red-nosed character played by Damon Wayans who, quote, don't play that?
Oh, man, what's his name?
Locked in.
I'm really glad you gave, like, the whole question, because the first answer, the one that, like, immediately came to my mind was Krusty the Clown, and I'm like, I'm like, wait, no.
That was dueling Krusty's there, too.
Back up a step, Jonathan, so I'm locked in with what I think is the right answer.
I didn't even see you write anything down.
It was telepathic.
Ah, gotcha.
Can't remember his name.
Come on, Carmella.
I was just talking about the show with... my cousin the other day, and with Corey, and I still can't remember this guy's name.
Man, Jonathan is starting to make a comeback, and we got it that quickly.
I know, and I'm getting very, very unhappy about it. I don't know, for some reason, I keep thinking he's saying, homie, don't play that, so I'm going to just say, homie the clown.
And Jonathan?
It's homie.
And the exact way that you worded it helped pretty much everybody get it, homie the clown.
Homie don't play that.
Homie D clown. Mm-hmm. His middle initial is D, by the way. Last category of the round... music.
Music!
Last question of the round. Music lyrics. What song opens with the lyrics, I've never seen a diamond in the flesh, I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies?
Jeez, dude. Do you have to give, like, the whole song?
It's two locked lines.
In. I'm locked in.
Wow. Okay. I didn't even see you write anything down again. All right. You're it's, not literally.
I'm telekinetic, dude.
All right, man.
The okay. word's on the page.
So you got it in a heartbeat. You got it in a heartbeat. So can you repeat it? Because all I heard was, which was her writing the answer down.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies.
Problem is, if it's current music, I just don't know current music anymore. I don't listen to it. I don't care for it. I really don't know. This is just very frustrating. I really needed to get this. Jonathan is going to be on a tear. Carmella was still in the lead anyway, so. I'm going to give the bad answer of Single Ladies.
Okay. You want a 3-2-1, Carmella?
You want to sing the two lines you gave us?
I don't remember the awesome. I don't remember the exact words, but I know how it goes. What are the exact words?
Diamond in the flesh.
The answer is Royals.
Teeth on wedding rings in the movies. Yeah, it's Royals.
Yep, Royals is right. Good job.
Yeah, I don't listen to that crap. Anyway, all right.
Chris is like, I spit on your question.
It's not I spit on the question. It's just I listen to that
spit
crap.
On your music.
So automatically,
I do not listen to that question.
So anything I don't that's newer than crap. 20 years is automatically I completely crap. Think is so. That what I'm getting?
A little bit. Da, 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 da. All right, so.
Crotchety wow, old man withers that, across the street.
The tale of, I tell you what, the tale of one round. Carmella's still in the lead with 80. Jonathan has bounced back dramatically with 70, and I am now lagging behind with 55.
Told you, comeback.
Going in the final round.
First question, round 6, history.
History.
What war did the Potsdam Conference follow?
The Potsdam Conference?
Yes.
I'll lock in.
Locked in.
I wish I knew where Potsdam was. That's the first thing I thought.
It's next to Pan's Dam.
Yeah, right.
So and next bad. To Skillet's Dam.
I feel like it might be near the Netherlands. Maybe that's just because of Amsterdam. But that doesn't lead me to a war. And it's not a treaty. It's a conference. So I wish I knew what they were doing at the conference, too, because... If it was a treaty, then that would be more directly related to the war. You think World War I, World War II are the first ones that come to mind. It's not going to be the French Revolution or the American Revolution. It's not going to be the Civil War. Shouldn't be related to any of the U.S. stuff in the Southeast Asia region either. So it wouldn't be Korea or Vietnam for us. So I guess I'm leaning towards World War I or World War II. And I think I'm going to go World War I. So, World War I for me.
All right. I said WW1.
I said World War I.
So, the reason I said World War I don't know about you guys, but I was thinking about the Schlieffen Plan and how Germany went up through Belgium. And so, there were things happening in the northern part of Europe up where the Netherlands are that could have led to them saying, okay, we need a neutral site or we need a site after the war that wasn't completely devastated, but it was still close by. And that's why I kind of went in that direction.
Potsdam Conference was held in Potsdam, which was occupied Germany in August of 1945.
So World War II. Wow.
Man. All right.
We all missed that one.
Jonathan's streak of three is over.
Oh, I'll streak again.
My streak of sucking
Please
is still
don't.
On.
I'm streaking.
Please don't.
That's why they call me the streak.
I thought they called you the Flash.
They called me the Minuteman.
60 seconds.
Hey, that's a
man.
Patriotic term. I need all that laughing.
Did the ladies buy that when you told them?
Not at all.
No. Didn't think so.
Round 6, question 2. Movies. In the 2012 film Marvel's The Avengers, who plays the role of the Hulk?
Three, two, one.
Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo is correct. Last category of round 6 is sports.
Sports!
Crap.
Connor McDavid was selected with the number 1 overall pick in the 2015 NHL draft by what team?
Man, why couldn't it have been a sports question? I knew. This was my chance to tie Carmella, and it just slipped by the wayside.
I have like 2 answers. Can I get both of them?
No.
But one of them might be right.
No, pick one. Pick the wrong one.
Fine. I'm locked in.
I'm locked in too.
So I'm sitting here trying to think of, like, what hockey teams do I know? I'm like, all right, so there's the LA Kings and the New York Rangers.
And the LA Kings.
There's the New York Rangers.
And the LA Kings.
Hmm.
And the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's about all I remember from hockey. So the first thing I thought of was LA Kings. So I'm going to say LA Kings, even though I'm pretty sure that's not it.
Okay. Jonathan?
So I don't know who the bad teams are. I remember a couple of questions, a couple of things I learned about who the good teams were last year. But one team that we've picked on in the past for being bad was the Toronto Maple Leafs. So I went ahead and went with them.
Okay. And for some reason, that's like nagging at the back of my head now. That was the second team. But the one I put was the Edmonton Oilers.
Somebody's right.
Oh, God. Please be me.
Please be me.
It would be the Edmonton Oilers.
You know what? I'm actually okay with him being right about that.
I know you are. Because that means you have the lead.
The only reason I know about the LA Kings is because I follow Stephen Amell on Facebook, and that's like his favorite hockey team.
Well, I think they were in the championship game last year.
Were they?
Yeah. So that was the end of the sixth round, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the score check, Chris? These are really low scores, by the way. This was a challenging game.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, so Carmella has been wire to wire in first place. She's with 90. Jonathan, you are just slightly behind with 80, and I have 75.
Man.
Ugh.
So what is the final category, Mark?
Your category is modern historical events.
All right, my score's locked in.
My score's locked in.
Your final question. Put the following events in order according to the earliest to occur down to the most recent. Your events. The channel connecting France and England opens. Dolly, the clone sheep, is born. Dr. Jack Kevorkian helps with his first public-assisted suicide. And Czechoslovakia dissolves into the Czech Republic and Slovakia.
Oh my God. Joel Imhoff is a new warhead on the Facebook group. He lives in Prague, Czech Republic. I'm wishing I had him on my team right now because I'm pretty sure he could tell me the date of that.
I just wish I had anybody on my team right now.
You know, it's funny, Mark. When you said these all happened in the last 35 years, my mind goes back to the 1960s when you say that.
Oh, man.
I didn't think at all you meant, hey, these all happened since 1985 for 80, since 1980.
Oh.
You said earliest to latest, right?
Yes.
All right, I'll lock in.
I'm locked in, too.
Oh, man, this sucked.
This blows cloned goats.
It really, well.
Or sheep.
Dolly, yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, that was bad. Anyway, I think Channel was first. I was thinking 1990, and I think all this happened within about 5 years of each other. It's fairly close. So I had Channel in 90, Kevorkian in 91, Dolly in 92, and then Czech Republic in 94. And so my final answer is Channel, Kevorkian, Dolly, Czech Republic, Slovakia.
Okay. So, one of the key thoughts in my decision making was Kevorkian, and whether or not he was doing it before people became aware of him doing it, like as a news story, right? And I think he was. I think he had done a few of them before it became a national news story. So, I put him first. I thought he might have done his in the late 80s.
Yeah, I was in that span too.
Yeah. And then, I thought maybe the channel was next. I'll give you years that I was thinking just to make it easier. So I was thinking that might have happened around 1991. I think Dolly happened when I was in high school. I'm thinking like 93. And then I'm just guessing that Czechoslovakia was after that. So I said Kevorkian, channel, Dolly, Czechoslovakia.
And honestly, that was almost my answer until I started figuring out dates. So I'm right there with you.
All right. So I said the same thing that Jonathan did.
Ah!
Kevorkian, Channel, Dolly, and Czechoslovakia.
Well, if you didn't bet, that could still be okay for me. Well, okay. So I'm not. Let's be right. Like, just be right. That'd be amazing.
First one, the earliest one, 1990, Jack Kevorkian. January 1st, 1993, Czechoslovakia dissolves.
Ah.
94, the Channel. And Dolly was in 1996.
Wow. That sucked.
Well,
it depends.
Okay, so my bet was 20. So I end with 55. Jonathan, your bet.
My bet was 11.
11.
I figured it would be.
You ended with 69.
Yeah.
Okay. And Carmella?
I bet 5.
5. Her now 85. So in third place with 55 points, that would be yours truly, Chris, with 69 points. In second place, that's Jonathan. And in first place, a new winner.
The first place lady of Trivial Warfare. Yeah.
With 85 points. That would be Carmella Smith.
I beat Jonathan all by myself. Woo!
Congratulations. You did awesome in that game.
Thanks.
Wire to wire, by the way.
That was fantastic. Great job.
Fantastic for you, not so great for me.
You know, I'm okay with that.
Okay, fair enough.
This time around, you know, but you're still my favorite teammate.
Thank you. High five.
All right, guys. So before we go, congrats to Carmella. That was outstanding.
Thanks.
Great job. And let's do a couple of reviews. So we, as you guys know, now that we're back to doing our normal shows, one of the things that we like to do is share reviews with you. We hope that you'll consider giving us a review. All you have to do is go find the show on iTunes by searching Trivial Warfare and go to the ratings and reviews section, and it will give you a chance to submit your own. Okay, so we had a review by Joe Shu 2326, and he said, "This is great. I love nerding out on film and gathering this type of information to destroy folks." Awesome.
Wow.
I'm glad that they use this as a weapon.
That was 5-star review, by the way.
Well, we are Trivial Warfare, after all.
That's right. And we had a review by Rachel_CYL. She said, "Started listening to this podcast once I really got into quiz nights at a local pub. I've gone back and listened to all the episodes. This is the only podcast I've done that for. And I love the banter. I love the logic. And I'm pretty sure my coworkers aren't thrilled with hearing my random laughter and whispers of answers. You've got a loyal fan listening in Hong Kong."
Woo! Awesome. Wow.
Gotta Thanks, like Rachel. That. Thank you, Rachel.
That just made my day.
That's
and
awesome.
I lost, so I needed that.
And let's pick a warhead of the... You know what? Carmella, you won a game.
But you're not the warhead of the week.
No. You've never been the warhead of the week. You are officially the warhead of the week,
yeah, Carmella. The double win.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. So you guys, Chris is going to tell you how to email us. Remember, we do the Trivial Warfare Army Facebook group out there. Just search Trivial Warfare Army on Facebook and you can't miss it. We have a lot of fun there. I encourage you to join. If you want to become an official warhead, go to trivialwarfare.com and hit the Become a Warhead button. And lastly, if you want to follow us on social media, we have a Facebook page, we have a Twitter page. They're both at Trivial Warfare. So,
yep, and I'm at D's Gators.
That's right.
Also, I want to say while you're on the Trivial Warfare website, also check out the show notes. If you go to episodes and click on show notes, I write them up. Jonathan wrote them for the first like 40 or so episodes, I want to say, and now I've taken over and I'm writing them, but they're a lot of fun and also kind of gives you some insight on the background, a little bit of what's going on during the shows and some funny fart videos. So there is that too. So if you want to get a hold of Jonathan, you can email him at trivialwarfare@gmail.com. Again, that's trivialwarfare@gmail.com. If you have a warm it up, Chris, question, I would really love to help because those are hard to figure out. And you can email those questions to me at warmitupchris@yahoo.com. Again, that's warmitupchris@yahoo.com. So ladies and gentlemen, until next time, that's Jonathan. That's Mark. I'm Chris. That's the champion, Carmella. And this is Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Thank you for listening to Trivial Warfare. To learn more about the show and become a warhead yourself, visit TrivialWarfare.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or in any other good podcast app. And find us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Trivial Warfare.
I'm just thankful you didn't trip on the cords.
There's a lot of
danger there.
Yeah.
He would have tripped, landed, and then puked on himself.
There's the outtakes right there.
Too bad it's not a video podcast.
It's like, Chris, are you all right? Oh! Damn!